Good evening.
Hello? Hello?
Good evening, you hit star 5. Right to kick. Evening, we'll be starting in 1 minute.
Good evening. I'm a little late. I'm sorry. I couldn't get through on the phone. Tonight's shiur is Le'ilui Nishmas Yehoshua Yonatan Ben David Shalom. His neshama should have an aliyah. And this is the beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu, but to get to the beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu, we have to finish off and see what prompted the situation to go as far as it did. We take a look and we notice that between every Sefer Torah, if you open up a Sefer Torah and look at it, you'll see everything is written the way it is written is by design exactly. And a Sefer Torah between every Sefer, between Gracious and Shmos and Le'ikor, there has to be four lines. And between every Sedra, there's a space of nine letters. Between Vayigash and Vayashi, there is no separation whatsoever. It just goes on to the next word. There's Psucha and Stuma, whether it starts nine letters on the same line, nine letters later, or on the next line, depending if it's a Parsha Psucha or a Parsha Stuma.
Right.
And the reason for this is God wants us to have an opportunity to process the information. And what happened was, Vayechi Yaakov b'Eretz Mitzrayim, was to show that Bnei Yisrael did not process the information. They watched, as I mentioned last week, they watched their door close slowly and were oblivious to the situation changing over the years until it reached the point where the doors closed, so to speak. The Berlin Wall was finally built, and now there was no escape. And this is what they had to face. And now it says, V'yela Shmos B'nei Yisrael Aboim Mitzrayimah. And that's why right away the pasuk begins with a very strange language usage. It should say, Asher Bo Mitzrayimah, that they came. They've been there a long time now, so these are the names of the B'nei Yisrael who came to Mitzrayim. But Asher Bo, Asher V'yela Shmos B'nei Yisrael Aboim, that are coming, that are now coming, is due down to Yosef, and it mentions only the tribes because these people came down only because of Yosef, and that's why it says the Yosef HaYob Mitzrayim. It mentions the Shvatim that were involved in Mechiras Yosef, or that the fact that they came down, which leaves us with one interesting observation, which might answer a question that I mentioned last week. Did Binyamin know or did he not know? Did Yaakov ever know? And we're left with the thought process that Yaakov never knew because Yosef did not have any contact. Chazal tell us for the 17 years there in Mitzrayim, Yosef was never around Yaakov for the simple reason, for it's speculated obviously by parts of the Gemara, that he didn't want his father to ask him too many questions, that he might have to spill the beans. And the reason why Binyamin is mentioned over here, because even though he wasn't involved in the original Mechira, he was involved in the cover-up because he knew that what the story was behind what happened, because he was one of the brothers and they probably had to swear him to secrecy at that time. So it says, Vayihi kol nefesh yotzei yerech Yaakov. So it's not necessary to mention the Shivim Nefesh here, just the names of the brother. But the fact is that getting back to the beginning, they needed time to process the information. But we see, when did they begin to process the information? It says when Pharaoh died, and then it says Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem, and then they cried to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When they had that moment off, they had that day's vacation, so to speak, and then they had time to process the information. We always need time to process what's going on around us. Sometimes we just live day to day and we don't look around. Now, getting back to the interesting part of the parsha that we have beyond that. The Elish Mos B'nai Yisrael HaBoim Mitzrayimah. But now we see the beginnings of Moshe Rabbeinu, and also, very importantly, we see the beginnings of Paro. And right away, when Moshe is born, and it says they hid him for 3 months, what was the point of hiding him, that they couldn't hide him for more than 3 months, and they decided to put him in the Nile? Obviously, this was the time of Kol HaBein HaYilod HaYorot HaShlichuhu. Could only have happened after Aaron was born, because otherwise, how come Aaron was around without any problems? And therefore, it had to be sometime, this decree of the 3 years between Moshe and Aaron. And so in that time frame is when the decree came out, Kol HaBein HaYilod HaYorot HaShlichuhu. Otherwise, Aaron would have had the same problem when he was born, which they did not. When they hid him for 3 months, and then they decided to put him into the Nile River, you would think perhaps that if Nismale Kol HaBayis Orol, you know, the whole house filled with light, or they saw that he was a special baby, or whatever it was, that they would take a chance and put him in the Nile River and see what happens. But they had to make a choice over here, because if Shifra, being a government official, so to speak, someone not necessarily in charge, but one of the midwives, if they were caught with the baby, they would all be executed. So they had to make a decision, one life instead of the entire family of Amram and Yocheved. But the point is, once he survives, they realize that Yocheved and Miriam, of course, Yocheved and Miriam and Amram and Aaron know, but they don't really have much contact with him. The thought process perhaps would be that Yocheved filled him in, but the fact that he obviously, when he vayaches hamitzri vayimeneu b'chol, when he smote the mitzri, the reality is it wasn't so much that that when Dosum v'aviram were told by Chazal vayomer l'rasha lo masak kereyecha, and the next day they told on him. Why did Paro want to actually kill Moshe? It wasn't for the fact that he had killed the mitzri. If Moshe is so high ranking official, prince in the palace, just because he killed another mitzri wouldn't be any reason at all for them to hunt him down and try to kill him. It was for the simple fact that what Dosan and Aviram said, that he's a Jew. And that's what they did not know at this point in time. They let the cat out of the bag, and they never told, you know, nobody knew that he was a Jewish baby. And now that's what they let out of the bag, that he was a Jew, and that's why they wanted to kill him. And so now he runs away. What happens in the middle of Moshe's life, of course, we don't know. Vayivrach Moshe mipnei Paro. But nevertheless, the minute he gets to Midian, he's not exactly a shrinking violet. You would think he'd have to lay low. But vayokom Moshe vayoshion. And he right away, he's not a man of words. He's a man of action, which I'm sure I said previously. But we want to go further than that. And when it says Va'ilech Ishmi Beis Levi, we're not told until later that it was Amram and Yocheved. We don't hear them spoken about. We just said Va'ilech Ishmi Beis Levi, which just to tell us very simple that anybody could be the parents of a Moshe or Aaron and Miriam. It's an amazing thing when you think about from one family come three such giants. But it just shows you the quality and the background, the ancestry of Moshe was such high-ranking, such ibigigebina people that were oskim b'tzorchei tzibur totally. And they run away, and of course he gets to Midian and he marries Sipora, and he moves on from there. But the interesting thing is later when God comes to him at the burning bush, moving along because there's so many things to say, looking for newer things to say, that when he gets to the burning bush, and he says, "V'hinei asne, inenu ukol, madua lo yivar asne." I see, I'm looking at this burning bush, and God says, "Come closer." And he's looking at this, and he doesn't understand what he's seeing. This is a sight that he has no understanding. We have to realize at this time that Moshe has never received any nevuah at this point in time. And this is to show us the growth of Moshe. This is his initial encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he does not understand. And that's why God says to Moshe, Shalni Olecho Me'al Raglecho. What are the purpose of shoes? Shoes are the purpose of it is to protect you from the feet, which is why the term, by the way, Am Haaretz means people of the land, meaning that they walk barefoot. People who walk barefoot were people who obviously couldn't afford much of an education. They couldn't afford a pair of shoes. And Moshe is being told over here, not so much, obviously, he does mean to take off his shoes, Ki Amokom Asher Ato Meir Olav Ad Mas Kodeshu, but the reality is he's telling him very simply, you have to strip away all the protection. If you want to understand the vision that you're seeing before you, you have to take away the strip away the outer layers and let you understand exactly, to let you process and focus on and take the information that you see. And if you strip away the outer layers of what we are, of natural causes of nature, the way we take it, science and being in its infancy, especially then, but not understanding the sight, you will understand. Take off your shoes, but physically, but mentally as well. That's why when Yeshua is told at the beginning of Yeshua, it says, Shal Naucha, take off one shoe only. What is the purpose of taking off one shoe only? The symbolism there is, as we are told, that Yeshua didn't have the capability of stripping away all his outer layers, but Moshe, God knew he did have the capability. He was a very strong-willed person, and he could withstand to strip away and let it be. And it reminds me, to put it in a very different light, of course, and we think of Einstein as a scientist, but in his papers, he wrote very simply, and I probably mentioned it before also, that he said the only reason he was able to come up with the whole idea of the theory of relativity was very simply because he believed in God. And therefore, since nothing in the universe made any sense scientifically, all the time, the science at that time was given over the thought process. It was by Max Planck and various other scientists of his day. But he said, since things he couldn't figure out made no sense, it had to be that there had to be a God in the world, and work backwards from the fact that we have no clue how the world was created, and work from the other end, working backwards. And that was the only way he came up with the thing. So it's not to say he didn't believe in God. He absolutely did believe in God. And Moshe is having his initial encounter now and beginning to figure things out. But it's also interesting at this point in time, not only is Moshe having his first experience with God, but all of a sudden we see for the first time, obviously we're introduced to Aaron too, but when it says, Vayomer Shel Aaron Lech Likras Moshe Hamidbara, that is God's first visitation with Aaron as well, because when it says, how would Aaron would have no idea. He hasn't seen him for so many years. We don't know if it's 50 years, 60 years, 20 years. We're not really sure. Seemingly, according to some chazal, that Moshe ran away when he was 18 and now he's 80. So where would Aaron, or how would Aaron even know where to find his brother? And so God had to come to him and tell him, Lech l'kras Moshe Hamidbara, and he had to tell him exactly where he could find him. The world is a big place. How would he know where to look for him? And so just to put things in context, so we get a better impression of how things are working here. And Aaron is told, Kimesu, and when Moshe goes ahead, doesn't explain to Yisro the problems that he faces over here, that the reason that God wants him to come down and perform the shlichus, he just says, God told me to go down to, I'm going back to Mitzrayim. And Yisro is very nervous, but he doesn't want to scare off Moshe, but he just says, Lech l'shalom. But obviously he was basically in, you could see in his face that the way he talks to him, the words that he uses is that, you've had some bad experiences in Mitzrayim. What makes you think it's safe to go? So I'm giving you a blessing. Go in peace. Obviously, he didn't say, have a wonderful trip. Have a nice time, because he knew that Mitzrayim is a very dangerous place. That's why Israel left Mitzrayim many years before, and he's afraid for Moshe. And that's why, what does God say to Moshe after he has accepted the shlichus, he accepted the job to go back and be the shliach, is that God says, Ki mesu kolu anoshim hamvakshim es nafshecha, because Yisrael has intimated that it's a dangerous place for a lot of people. There are always wanted posters out there. But nevertheless, God says to him, there is no more wanted poster out for you anymore. And all those people have died. And now the time has come to avoid all the other problems that we've had up to now and go back and bring the B'nai Yisrael to Mitzrayim. And then we get to the next topic over here is, while they're on the way, it says, Vayivakesh Hashem, Vayivaderech Bamalom. And so Chazal tell us very simply, it seems strange that he was along the way and he didn't give his son a bris milah, and therefore God tried to kill him, seemingly so. But that's, it wasn't, he just had his priorities a little mixed up, whereas Zipporah understood, certainly, after she gave him the bris milah, when she saw that Moshe recovered. And what was the problem? It says, Vayhi baderach, he says, Vayifkisheyu Hashem, Vayivakesh Amiso. It's not that God suddenly met him. Oh, look who's here, Moshe. That's not what happened. But when God wants to speak to somebody, you have to be in the right frame of mind to receive. You can't just have a visitation from God without total concentration and putting all other thoughts out of your mind, because the burden is so great, as we see. And there are different languages used to when God speaks to all the Nevi'im, and as it grows later and later, we see the term used in some of the later prophets. It says Maso, like the last one, Maso, Bivar Hashem Biad Malachi, that Maso is a burden. It was too much for them as well that they couldn't focus on. It was too much of a burden to have God's Shechina resting on your shoulders. But God knew that Moshe would be able to handle it. But this is early Nevuah for Moshe, and even has to grow. Same as Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They had their visitations, but in dream sequences, never in direct way. Only Moshe was the only one who had direct conversations with God, but not at this point in time. It was still these images that God spoke to him with, and he had to grow at this point as well. And that's why he needed all this chizuk of kimesu kol anashim. But he's concerned about what he's going to tell B'nai Yisrael. But I have to mention this like every year, because basically the thought process of B'nai Yisrael is, look at that, we've been in Mitzrayim. It's now over 200 years and we're suffering terribly. And all the people of the tribes of the family tree of Esau is getting along so famously, and they're kings of their land of Esau, Edom, and they are running along and doing fabulously well. And they're thinking, and they look at that, we had a price to pay. Yaakov stole the Bechora, and this is God's punishment. And that's why he says to Moshe, the first thing you tell B'nai Yisrael is B'ni Bechori Yisrael, as Rabbi Alpert says, B'ni Bechori Yisrael, tell them no such thought. This was all in the cards, and as I said in the Brisbane of Sarim, there will be a time when I'll take you out. And in my thought, this was no Avera, that B'ni Bechori, the true Bechor, was Yaakov. There was no Avera involved, and now the time for redemption has come. And what we get into something very interesting at the end of the parsha, when Moshe goes to talk to Paro and say, Shalach es amiv yavduni, what we have to get on our mind over here, why was he didn't, we always learn as children that Moshe is saying, let my people go. We hear the song and we think about it, but of course, we have to put in perspective, because it'll keep coming. He's only asking for a three-day vacation. And in fact, Moshe negotiated initially to have at least one day off a week so that they could observe Shabbos. Of course, he's not explaining it to Paro in that way, but production will grow. We know that if you give people time off, the world, the time that they're working will go. And initially, Paro let it happen. And that's why he says, Gam Tumol, Gam Mishulshon. I gave them a day off, and now Nirpim Atem Nirpim, because the workload did not decrease for the week. So if you're going to work better the other 6 days of the week, then you can well accomplish what normally would take you 7 days to do. You could do it in 6 days if that's what you're telling me. I'll give you a day off, but then you're going to produce more on the other days of the week. But I see that you're not. You haven't produced any more. You're producing only 6 days' work, even though I gave you the day off. And he takes away that day off, and he says, Nirpim Atem Nirpim, which is when Moshe comes to the end of the parasha and finally has the unenviable position when he finally shows his true colors and saying he's a man of action. And I see, Meyoz Basiel Parole Daber B'Shmecha, Hey Ra La'omazeh, things have gotten increasingly worse, and God is saying it's a process. Everything is a process. I told you this wouldn't happen one time. This is going to be a long period of time. And so obviously he still doesn't, if he has the, since we are told that he has the mata, and the mata already had the makos on the mata, but they were just 10 letters, not broken up in any specific way. The Gemara discusses it in detail, what was the way it was written. So we know we'll get into when we discuss Pesach, but the fact is he didn't understand the significance of what was on that mata, obviously, but regardless, he is a man of action. He's thinking, but the truth is, at least he wasn't afraid to go to Paro. And when we have to put in perspective the miracles that Moshe went through, how would you think if he went to he went in front of Pharaoh? Pharaoh definitely would have, or could have, certainly could have killed him and taken him away, put him in jail, or done something. The fact that he did nothing to him was also obviously the hand of God. We take it lightly when all the time that he keeps coming to Pharaoh, Pharaoh could have said, I'm tired of hearing this, and lock him up or behead him or do whatever it is. But he has, as much as Moshe shows his respect for Pharaoh, but of course we know this was obviously God's plan, because he just told them we want a three-day vacation. He wasn't asking Paro to let them go. It was all a prelude to getting them to the Yam Suf, where God had made this plan right from the beginning that they would destroy the entire Egyptian army at the Yam Suf. We'll discuss next week the other events, certainly, that we left off, and have a good week.